You are listening to the Point Harbor Church podcast. Experience a place where you can grow in your faith, connect with others, and discover the story God has for your life. For more resources, visit us online at pointharbor.com.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor Tom. We are in what new series? Tell me. Philippians. So last time I psyched you out and made you go to Acts because we set the context, but we're going to the book of Philippians. So Philippians in your Bible, page 1083. If you don't have a Bible, we have a blue one somewhere close to you in the seat rack. So grab that. That's our gift to you. Take that home, put your name in it, bring it back next Sunday or Saturday, whenever you come to the weekend service. Page 1083, and we'll jump in that in a second. But interesting factoid, and you won't pick this up from reading the book of Philippians, but when you go into the history of it and the background of this area, the city of Philippi that we're looking at over the next few weeks, it was a lot like Hampton Roads in several ways. There was a big military area, and so military veterans would tend to retire. Some of you here, you came and you didn't. When I came to this area, when I got here in the Navy and I got my orders to Norfolk, Virginia, back in 1978, I think it was, and my dad, who'd been in the Navy in the Korean War, he goes, "Well, boy, you're going to the armpit of the world," because he was on the West Coast, and they always heard bad things. And back then, Norfolk was a lot different than it is today. They've upgraded it some, but anyway, Philippi was a lot like this area. The military veterans, they came, they retired, tended to settle there. So the economy of Philippi was greatly impacted by military and ex-military pay. And we have a lot in common with the Philippians. Oh, man, it's doing it again. Close. All right, let's try this. We have a new pen. Say, ooh. Ooh. Yeah, don't ooh too quickly. All right. Come on, come on, help me. All right, Chad, wait. We're going to switch to the old pen. Say, old pen. Old pen. All right, all right, yay, old pen. Now, boo. There it is, okay, all right. Yay. All right. Where was I? Philippi. So we got a lot in common. What else do we have in another? 2,000 years removed. What else do we have in common with them, do you think? Okay, all right, well, seaport. I was thinking something more spiritual. The people in Philippi he's writing to are a church, and so they are presumed to be Christians. There you go. Are you a Christian? Yes. All right, some of you are. So we have a common salvation. And a secondary source or issue of commonality is a common joy. Because Christians are supposed to have joy. God promises joy. God wants you to, and Philippians is a lot about, not totally about, but a lot about joy. God wants you to have joy, to live in it. And somebody says, "Well, John, I'm a happy person. Don't worry about me, I'm a happy person. I've always, since I was a baby, I came out of the womb smiling." And that's good. But that's great, that's not what we're talking about. That's not what we're talking about here. And our problem, many of you in here, your problem is you're confusing these two things. They're similar, but they're not at all synonymous because God does not promise you happiness. He doesn't, no matter what the TV preachers say. So in your Bible, in your Bible, now don't go out of Philippians, but you look at least in the ESV version, happy or happiness is only 13 times in the whole Bible. Happy, what's that song, happy? But it's 198 times is the word what? Joy. So that is really, now, God's not against happiness, but happiness is different than joy. You know, I thought they were the same thing. No. And that might be your problem because your expectation meter needs recalibrating. There's nothing wrong with happiness. I'm happy when I'm happy. But happiness is a temporary emotion. It's going to come and go depending on my circumstances, your circumstances. It comes from an old Viking Norse word that sounded like this, hap, all right? And that meant luck. So Happiness is when I feel lucky, or chance. It can be translated chance, good luck. So happiness really equals happenstance. Are you tracking with me? Say, I'm tracking. All right. So nothing wrong with that. You know, if you find out that you have an inheritance from a dead aunt you'd never met, you are happy. Yes? But then when you find out that your brother embezzled it, you are unhappy. Right? Happenstance. All right. But joy, you can be joyful through that situation no matter what, because happiness is a temporary emotion, and joy is not a simple emotion. It is eternal. It remains no matter what. So there are huge differences between joy and happiness. For instance, I just got a few for you. Joy transcends. It transcends. It goes out of the situation. It's around the situation and through the situation, whereas happiness just reacts to the situation. Nothing wrong with that, but it's just, it is what it is. That's why some of you are grumpy today, because you don't have joy and you lost your happiness for whatever reason. Joy is a practice and a behavior. It's deliberate and intentional. You can have joy no matter what. Just like love is not a feeling. Feelings come with love, but love is an action. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. Happiness comes and goes along its way. It's here, it's not here. But joy, I love this, is a fruit of the Spirit. It's a fruit of the Spirit. It's something spiritual. Happiness is not. Happiness is just a passing emotion. But, so laying that foundation, let's turn this thing around. Ask yourself this question. Do I bring other people joy? Do I bring other people joy? Now you're like, well, I try to bring them happiness. Okay, that's fine, but do you bring them joy? And let's get more specific. What do other people, just get practical, think of me? What do other people think of me? Or even more specifically, because of today's text, what do my pastors think of me? You're like, oh my goodness. So I'm preaching today on that. What my pastors think of me? Scary title to some of you, isn't it? You're like, oh man, now, I don't imagine anybody's gonna fall asleep today. But that's where Paul starts his letter. So jump in, you'll see where we're going with this. In Philippians chapter 1, verse number 1, are you there? Yes. All right, Paul and Timothy, servants. Now, if you underline things in your Bible, you can underline that and put out to the margin bond slaves. That's what it means, slaves of Christ Jesus, because they were bought with a price, his blood. To all the saints, underline saints, in Christ Jesus who are at Philippi, with the overseers, underline that, and the deacons, underline that. Grace to you, circle grace, and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Interesting, Paul typically starts out his letters with grace and peace. You know, it's kind of like the intro thing, but it's not just a throwaway line. The order is important. You can't have peace until you first have grace. The grace of Christ brings me the peace of God. I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you. So he's making prayer. He's praying for them a lot. All for you all, making my prayer with, what's that word? Joy, underline. Making my prayer with joy, because I put brackets around that, because it's going to tell us why he is joyful in praying for them. Because of your partnership, double circle that. Heavy circle on that. Your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. I am sure of this, underline sure. I don't just hope it, but I'm sure that he who began a good work in you will bring it to what? Completion at the day of Jesus Christ. I underline that whole verse there. It's right for me to feel this way about you all, because I hold you in my heart. For you are all partakers. Double circle that and draw a line from partnership to partakers. You are all partakers with me of grace, both in my imprisonment and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel. For God is my witness, how I yearn for you all with the affection of Christ Jesus. That word affection is also, you could translate it, guts. I yearn for you all with the guts of Jesus, is how you could translate that. So Paul is starting this letter, and you ever wonder what someone actually thought about you in their heart of hearts? Or more specifically, today's message, what your pastors think about you. And you might say, well, I hope you all think good things about me. You know, I mean, John, you generally got a big smile on your face when you see me. So, and Pastor Tom is always nice to me. And Pastor Dan always, you know, laughs at my latest dad joke. And Pastor Johnny calls me dude. Hey, dude. Pastor Jose greets me every weekend out in the foyer. Pastor Tim interacts and likes my teenager. And Pastor Victor tries his best to understand my special P-Town dialect. So I think you guys are cool with me. Yeah, but you ever wonder what somebody thinks of you, what your pastors think of you? John, what do you think about me? What we think about you, this text really lays it out there. We've got 3 points today. How many points?
Three.
Doesn't mean it's going to be short. Points might just be longer. But number one, if you're a note taker, and you ought to be, we are joyful in prayer. When we think about you, we're joyful in prayer. In verse one, he says, we're Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all the saints, with the overseers and deacons, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God in all my remembrance of you. And then verse 4, look at it in your Bible there. Why are we thankful? Always in every prayer of mine, making my prayer with joy. We are joyful in prayer for y'all. And Paul's not making one of those generic, hey, you know, appreciate you, man, statements. He's sitting, where's Paul writing this? Remember? He's in a Roman prison in Rome. So if anybody could have a pity party, and you know, it's okay to have a pity party when you're in prison, you would think it would be Paul. But he's not. He's not thinking of himself, in other words. He's thinking of them. And his mind is going back, 10 years back. It's been 10 years, well, 9 years since he's seen him. He saw him when he first planted this church, and then he came back like the next year or two, just stayed a few months with him to reestablish him. So he's not seen him about 8 years, but he goes back the 10 years and remembers how he had all these well-laid plans, but God kept frustrating his agenda. And that's how he got to Philippi in the first place. He was never going to go there. God said, hey, I want you to go there. And then he remembers the first day when he goes down to the riverside and sees these Jewish folks worshiping God, not idols, but they don't have Jesus. And he introduced Lydia, one of the ladies, to Jesus. She trusted Christ, and Christ started changing her life. And then that slave girl, remember, that followed him around, she had a demon, and she was, you know, prophesying, and her owners would get money from all of her incantations. And then Paul cast the demon out, and because of that, the owners said, we don't like that, and they got thrown in jail, and they got the beat down on that. He remembers being in jail in the middle of the night singing, not having a pity party with Silas. The blood still fresh on them and the wounds still festering. And they're in shackles singing in the middle of the night. And I have an imagination. And I think Paul is probably more of a baritone like Charles Love back there. Charles used to be in my choir. He's baritone bass. So he had the deeper voice, you know, me, 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 as they're tuning up. And for some reason, I think Silas is more a tenor like Shelby. Me. Right, man? Shelby hit those high notes. So they're harmonizing. And Paul remembers that. And then he remembers, boom, the personal earthquake that God gave him. And then they're set free. The door swings open. The shackles and manacles fall off. Subsequently, because of that, the jailer and his whole family trust Jesus. And then, you know, they started a church with Lydia's family, the jailer's family, maybe the ex-demon-possessed girl. And Paul could remember exactly what the church building looked like because it was Lydia's home, it was her house. And even though he now has chains on again, I'm betting he smiled because he knew real joy as he prayed for each one of them and still prayed for them by name. Now, I've never been chained in prison. I've been arrested a few times. It was back in the day, before Jesus. But I do know something of the joy that Paul knew as he penned this letter, because Paul had those 10 years of memory from the church in Philippi and hadn't seen him for at least 8 years, but not to minimize, you know, God help me, Paul's experience. But this text makes me think of our experience here at Point Harbor, because I've had 34 years of history here from being either on staff or being, you know, a young sailor sitting in those seats. Robin's had one more year than I, because she got to this church before I did. She's had 35 years. And let me say, those years makes for great memories, some joy reflection. Back in the day, you folks, you come here and you know our building. This is what it used to look like. at a different place, Twin Pines Town Point Road in Portsmouth. How many of you know where that's at? Still there. It's still there. It's now another church, different name or whatever. The building's still there. And I remember in that building, coming to that building the first time and not liking the message, not liking how the preacher preached, not understanding the music, but I saw a girl. And then I trusted Christ after a few months, and Tom Sutton and I, those of you who know Tom, were baptized on the same day back in 1979. His wife, a year later, Bonnie, used to be our pianist. She played the piano in 1980, April 22nd, at our wedding. So, I mean, then, you know, I went off to college, and y'all moved here. You're like, where is that? It's right here. You're like, it looks like Kingdom Hall. I know. It's that part from that wall on. That's that. That's what it used to look like, Kingdom Hall. And that was the building that we swapped properties and got this property, and that's where we were doing church until we built this building back in 2002, and God was doing word. But so I remember all these different memories. I was thinking, I remember when Homer and Annie, they're 95 and 96 years old. I remember when they started dating. You're like, how old are you? Both of their first spouses died, and then they got together. But it's back in the day. I remember Mark Haskett, after my dad died, and I came back talking to me outside by the ball field, and, you know, and it helped, just listening. I remember many of you winning you to Jesus and baptizing a ton of you. John, why don't you baptize much anymore? Because we have young people on staff now. With better backs. I remember ladies, many of you ladies, praying for your pregnancy back in the day. You were worried, especially when it was your first one. And then 20-some years later, praying for that same kid as they head off to college. And over the years, preaching, there's 66 books in the Word of God, and I've preached 24 of them word for word and verse by verse over these years. That's about one-third of the whole Word of God, somewhere around 400 sermons that you've either been fed or endured. And I could go on and on and on, that God is doing some cool things. But maybe, church, with all of the busyness and the business of growing, of a growing ministry, we don't say it enough or communicate it very well, but we love you. Your pastors love you. We love you with all our hearts. And we lift up your names in prayer, especially if we know something's going on. I have a prayer list that is expanding. And if I hopefully see you in the foyer and you say, pray for me, I'll try to pray for you right there. You know, if it's a need that's right now, but if it's one of those huge, heavy needs, I put you on my prayer list. And the other guys have their prayer lists, and we pray for you. And there's a joy connected to that because we love you. So there's joy connected to it. Almost always. Almost always. What do you mean, John? Almost always. Look at me at another scripture, another portion of scripture that hints at the other side. It's an interesting phraseology. In Hebrews 13, 17. Now, this is heavy. This is the Word of God, right? This is not John. This is the Word of God. It says, what's this first word? Oh, that's not popular nowadays. Your leaders and, say it, submit to them. What? That is the Word of God. All right? As I'm speaking for Christ, it's like sometimes, one time somebody said, well, you can't tell me what to do. I said, that's the definition of my job, is to tell you what to do from the Word of God. Now, not if it's not in the Word of God, then, you know, it's just my opinion. But my job is to tell you what God says to do. Amen? So, for why do I obey and submit? For, here's why, they are keeping watch over your what? Souls. As those who will have to give an account. One day, every pastor is going to have to give an account for every sheep that he has had in his flock. Did you preach my word to them, or did you edit and try to soften my word? Did you comfort them when they needed comfort, or did you just ignore them? How did you treat them? Did you rebuke them when they needed rebuke? Did you encourage them when they needed encouragement? You will have to, pastor, give an account. Let them do this with what?
Joy.
Oh, say it louder.
Joy
and not with what?
Groaning.
Because that would be no advantage to you. God says, I'm gonna hold you responsible, sheep. as to how your shepherd, if it's either joyful or groaning. And in every church, there are some groaners. None here today, though. Amen. John, have you actually prayed about someone and it was actually, you were actually made you groan this week? Almost every week. I told you I have a prayer list. Some of y'all are screwing up. I mean, you're screwing your lives up. And I, this week, on the dash of my new truck, I slammed my, and I said, God, and I called that name, that person's name, and I said, man, Lord, you got to grab a hold of them. They are acting stupid. They're acting stupid, God. Get a hold of them. I've tried. Obviously, I'm not, you know, it's not me. It's got to be your spirit doing something. Might be somebody in this room. I don't know. I can't see y'all. It's no fun, but that's part of the pastoring shepherding gig, amen? God, they don't get it. Help them to get it. Lord, they have a stronghold in their marriage. I pray that you will tear it down because nothing else. It's a spiritual stronghold. I pray you bring him repentance and reconciliation. I pray that for some of you out there. Lord, he's wrecking his family. He doesn't seem to care. God, she's Satan's toy on a string. She's bound. Please release her. But I want to go on record as saying that in the norm, when I pray for you or Pastor Tom, Dan, Johnny, Jose, Tim, or Victor prays for you, we do it with great joy. Why, John? Because overall, taken together, Point Harbor, you folks, you're an awesome church. You're an awesome church. Not to get you all pride-filled. I am awesome. Awesome! But most churches are filled to the brim, or at least more than half, with people that just make their pastors groan. They do. A lot of churches. God has blessed us so much over the years. There are some groaners. There are some people that are running, you know, and God has to just use the shepherd and the preaching and the encouraging or the rebuking to bring them back, stray sheep. But by and large, and that's just part of a flock, right? I used to be that. By and large, we've got a lot of folks who bring a lot of joy. And that's unique in churches. Many of you come from churches, and the reason you left was because there's a whole lot of groaning. Sometimes it was the pastor that was groaning all the time because of his own mess. We've had staff members who have left us, and no names, I'm not going to mention any names, for another position in another church. And they come back, almost invariably, they come back and go, man, I never knew what we had when we were here. And they don't say, I wish I wouldn't have left, but that's what they mean. I can interpret. There's a lot of joy here. Amen? Yeah. You folks ain't like regular Baptists or Presbyterians or Catholics. Give yourselves a hand. Yay, us. Yeah. So I mirror Paul in that. Not only that, but secondly, number two. We are thrilled that we're joined in partnership. Back to verse 1. He says to all the saints in Christ Jesus, along with overseers and deacons, who are those? We'll get to it. I thank my God in all my remembrance of you always, in every prayer of mine for you, making my prayer with joy. Because why? Why are you filled with joy? Because of your partnership in the gospel. From the first day we came up on the shore of that river and met those women and started this church till now. Many of you were here, well, not many of you. I just lied in church. A few of you were here at our annual business meeting. It's never greatly attended because you're thinking, business meeting, oh, how boring. But it's not boring. And there are no fights, so maybe you're saying, oh, it'd be cool if there were fights. There are no fights, never fights. Some of you grew up, that was the most exciting meeting, the most heavily attended meeting, more than Easter, because you knew there's going to be, you know, the long-haired deacon and the bald deacon were going to go at it again, and you couldn't wait. So we don't have that, but we do have a whole lot of, here's what God did, some ROI. So for those of you that weren't here, I got this from Jessica. She puts out a praise report. It's just one page, right? We don't go line by line through the budget and stuff. We got that money stuff over here, and that's cool, but that's not the most exciting. So what this money bought is this, the ability to reach 174 people for Jesus. Amen? Amen. 174 people. Hell lost another one. I am free. 75 of them got baptized, give it up for Jesus. 128 people joined the church last year. First time attenders, they stepped in the door for the first time that we know of, 438. You're like, where? Yeah. Well, John, obviously all of them didn't stay. I know we scared some of them away. That's okay. But some of them did stay, right? A lot of these people, and we have grown over this year. But also, we got this 25 by 35 thing going on. Just kicked that off. We've got these six churches already planted. Of those churches, they average 241 average between all of them. Give it up for God. 55 salvations in those churches and 57 baptisms. That is ROI, return on spiritual and financial investment. That's what Paul's talking about here. These people partnered. We're joining a partnership. And Paul highlights three groups in this text. Some of you are like, okay, you know, you got these saints. What are saints? Because, you know, I'm not a saint. Well, then you're going to hell. You're like, what? What? I got to be a perfect Christian? Saint is not a perfect Christian. Catholics have messed that up. You Catholics, you know what I'm talking about. A saint is not someone who's died 100 years ago and did some miracle, and then they're like, the Pope says, now thou art a saint. Oh. No, that is not a saint. What is a saint? A saint is a person who's trusted Jesus as their Lord and Savior. It means, saint means holy, hagios in the Greek, set apart to God. When you trust Jesus as your Savior, you are set apart to God. You're now in his family. You are a saint. Now, a bunch of you, love y'all, you're saints who look like you ain't, but you are if you've trusted Jesus. So saints, say, I'm a saint. Yeah, next time you get in a fight with your wife, just say, Pastor John says I'm a saint, girl. You ought to be careful. You married a saint. Then the deacons. Oh, yeah, Pastor John. Those are the ones who were in charge of the church. No, maybe your last church, but they did it unbiblically. Deacon, the word diakonos in the Greek means servant. Deacons. And we have pictures of them. Some of you, who are deacons around here? Boom, there they are. All right, yeah. So, yeah, give it up for them. Those are our deacons, and we have some great deacons, but they're leading in a specific area. They're leading in the area of finances. They are our financial group, the financial accountability partners, if you will. They count the offerings, they collect the offerings and all. Don't come up and give me cash. I mean, you can if it's for me. But if it's for the church, not that I'm not trustworthy, but I'm forgetful. So, I mean, you give me 20 bucks. Say, hey, can you put this in an offering? And I forget. And then I'm at Chili's. And I'm like, look, I got 20 bucks. Where did that come from? So don't do that. We have offering boxes. That's one reason for those offering boxes. All right. And then the deacons pick those up. And they count it, and they look over every line, every transaction. They can ask any question. So give it up for the deacons. Yay, deacons. All right, and then the overseers. Who are those? Pastors. Those are the pastors, the leaders. All right. Now, you know I believe in strong pastoral leadership, but not in dictatorship. There's a difference. Most of the major decisions made at this church are made through the affirmation of partners, a partnership. In our name change, when we changed our name, you thought this was always Point Harbor. No. We used to be Fellowship Baptist Church back in the day. That's how it was started in 1985. Fellowship Baptist Church. It's 75, sorry, 1975. And that was the church that I came to, Fellowship. That's one reason I didn't want to come to this church, because it was called Baptist, and I was a Presbyterian. So, Reformed type. But when I got here and pastored back in 1999, several somebodies would come up to me and go, man, Pastor John, I'm trying to get my friend, but she's a Catholic, and she said, I can't go to a Baptist church. I'm like, really? Okay. She said, but, you know, if we had like a name, Community Church, I think they'd come. And we're like, huh, we heard more and more of that. So I thought, I don't want the name to be a filter. We're not changing our beliefs. And so started thinking about changing the name, praying about changing the name. And so I had some pastor friends that said, you're going to lose people. You're going to lose people. You change the name. People are really, not down with that. I said, I'm praying we won't. But I was praying, God, and I was being led in that direction. And so I just included the folks. Hey, we're a partnership. If you are a member, you can submit any name, any number of names. put it on a 3x5 card, and we are going. Then we had groups of people selected from the congregation that I felt were, and they were young and they were old. People have been around a while, new people, just for their input on it. And we sat at four different tables in one of the trailers. And we went through, every group had every name. And I had a name that I thought would be awesome. And it is not the name on the sign. I thought my name was awesome. And I realized it wasn't so awesome. And so we had all of our names, and we're just doing thumbs up, thumbs down at the table. I'm sitting with a table with some young folks, and one of our ladies, she's probably 20, 21 years old. It came to my name, and there it was. I'm like, yeah. But I didn't tell her it was me. What is the name, John? Celebration Community Church. Because we celebrate. Woo! And this lady, this young lady said,
Celebration Community Church sounds gay.
I'm like, no, it doesn't. She's like, yeah, it does. It really sounds gay. I'm like, that was my name.
She's like, still sounds gay.
So that gave me a new understanding of that. Now, if you go to Celebration Community Church down the road, I'm sorry. I didn't say it. But we came. Well, John, where did Point Harbor come from? I think it was Pastor Mark Myers, and he just said, hey, out there on the sign, this area is called Point Harbor. Why not just use that? I'm like, huh. And then our name change, I got to hurry, but our name change, I did have some qualifiers, all right? All right, it couldn't sound white. Whoa, what do you mean, sound white? St. Christopher's Episcopal. Just sounds white. Neither can it sound black, all right? So it has, and it has to be transferable if God ever moves us to Suffolk. So it can't be Taylor Road Baptist or Taylor Road Community, right? They already got one of those down there anyway. So those are the only parameters. And then we affirmed and defirmed, and we came up with Point Harbor Community Church, which we've shortened to Point Harbor Church, and I like it. I like it. Amen?
Amen.
Our name changed. We were partners in that. Our building project, we were partners in that. Our yearly budget, we're partners affirming our spending parameters. What do partners do, John? We meet together, work together, sacrifice together, invest together, rejoice together, sorrow together, grow together, and grow old together. Yeah. Amen. Love you, old folks. You're like, you're old? Oh, shut up. We had Kurt Lohr's memorial service yesterday. Many of you know Kurt. Just maybe you only know him because he was, you know, our guitarist up here, one of our guitarists. And I went through, so when I'm going to speak, I'm like, all right, I need to go through and look at, you know, Kurt and his impact on the church and the church's impact on him. So I did an email search of all my emails with his name, and I went in our database, and I knew a few of these, but some of these I didn't know. So they showed up here September 2021, so like 6 years ago, 5.5 years ago. So they showed up, woo, and they're attending, woo, and they didn't stop there. They took their next spiritual step. Listen to me. Some of you have stopped there. You just show up. Don't stop there. Then they started giving, because I send out I get a notice of the first-time givers, and then we'll send them a note. Hey, ho-ho, appreciate it. Yeah, you, right? Little note. And many of you, you're like, yeah, man, I got that note. Others of you are like, I never got that note. Well, that should tell you something, should it not? Start giving, you'll get a note. Then they started giving, and then officially joined Point Harbor. And so the list of, hey, these folks are our new members, and I saw that email that I was notified. That's where others of you stop. So you take a step, a spiritual step, another spiritual step. Yeah, I joined, okay. I'm there. No, you're not there. And Kurt didn't stop there. Kurt and Donald, they joined a point group, the Strouds Point Group. And they're like, yeah, but that wasn't enough for Kurt. He joined Pastor Tom's Cigar Point Group. Yeah. So he's now, he's got, you know, he's double dipping. And that wasn't enough. And that's where some of you stop. You think, okay, I joined a point group. All right, now. No, he started playing guitar with a worship team up here. And he was serving. He attended Pastor John's Beast Feast out at our house, wearing his cool little hat. And then the next thing I saw was there was a prayer list went out April of 2024. Said, hey, pray for Kurt. He's got a heart issue. But we prayed, and he made it through that. And then the next thing I got were the urgent texts and emails and prayer calls on February 7th when he had his fatal heart attack. And God sent his angels to move Kurt from Point Harbor's worship band to Heaven's worship band. Amen? Yeah. So Kurt's life exemplified what Paul is talking about here. That's what I'm telling you about Kurt. Kurt was a partner. He got it. Some of you don't get it. You don't get it. You're a consumer. I love you. You make me groan. Because you're just a consumer. And Philippians in 1 and verse 4. Always in every prayer of mine for you all, making my prayer with joy. Woohoo! Because of your partnership. It's an active partnership in the gospel. That's what we are called to do, called to be. Some of you need to step up and learn from Kurt's life. If you won't learn from the Word of God, learn from somebody who God just took home, who got it. He probably didn't get it right away, but boom, 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 he was taking the next spiritual step. Because some of you in here, maybe many of you, you're here, you're participants in the worship service, but you're not really a partner yet. You're not a partner. Take the steps to become a partner. What are those steps, John? They're pretty easy. Show up. Step number one, show up. Well, I'm here. Cool. Trust Jesus if you have it. He died on the cross for your sins. He went to that grave for your sins. He rose victorious over your sins, shed his blood on the cross. But some of you have never trusted him. You're trusting in baptism or church attendance or whatever, and you haven't trusted Jesus. You're like me when I was 19, 20 years old, and I had been in church all my life, but never trusted Jesus as my personal Lord and Savior. Some of you, that's your next step. You need to trust Christ. All right, then am I good? Well, then get baptized. Some of you have been around for years and I trusted Jesus, I'm going to heaven. Well, why don't you get baptized? Well, it's not that important. Jesus said it was. It's a command. And if you don't obey a command of Jesus, what's that called? Sin, disobedience. Why would you want to live in that? Well, I'm scared of water. Oh, get over yourself. We haven't lost anybody yet. And then join this body. Quit being just friends and become part of the family. Quit just visiting. So every week, and it's not every week for many of you, it's good to see you here. I saw you like 4 weeks ago, hallelujah, and praise God for that. And I realize you're busy, but how much of a priority is this partnership? And then get on a ministry team. Start serving instead of just sitting. Get in a point group. We're going to start a new season right after Easter. Start tithing and sacrificing. So the partnership is all about, hey, I am committed to this, and I'm going to financially help to underwrite it. Become a partner in the gospel. Look around you for a second. Look around. Come on, look around. Look at these people. I know it's kind of, some are scary, but these are tons of folks who get it. They get it. Regular folks who are full partners in this thing of the gospel. Well, John, how do I take my next step? The QR code on the seat back in front of you, click that with your device, and it'll take you right to your next step, options. All right, what do I need to do? Get baptized, have information about joining the church, information about joining a ministry team. We try to make it easy, folks. All right? We're not old school Baptists where we give an invitation typically. If you want to serve in the women's ministry, come on down here, kneel there, we'll deal with it. No, you could click, boom, say click, boom. All right. Some of you need to click, boom. And many of you aren't just partnering in here. You are partnering out there. Ray Harris, he didn't know I was going to tell this story, sent me an email, I think it was last week. This is his email. This is vintage Ray. I met several people this week on my walk, and three of them I could have invited, but I left my Easter invite cards in my Bible. Dang it. But today in the bank, I saw a guy sitting down with his T-shirt on, and his arms were huge. I mean huge. So I walked over to him, and I said, excuse me, sir. And his head whips around, and I said, sir, here in P-Town, you have to put those guns in a holster. He quickly said, I believe I can open carry. Pretty good response. So Ray starts a conversation with him. He tells Ray he's been lifting weights since he was 16, then got involved in booze, apparently, and then he joined the Navy, but he's been lifting ever since. And Ray said to him, "You remind me of my pastor." I'm like, "Yeah." Who has a similar story of yours. Wild, drinking, fighting, running away from home, joined the Navy, came to Point Harbor. Girl caught his eye. He came back because of the girl, only to find he wasn't really a friend of Jesus, dedicated his life to Jesus, married the girl, came back to pastor. He preaches in jeans and button-down T-shirts for 45 minutes straight out of the Bible. I'm like, 45 minutes? Ray undersold that. This dude said, "Really?" And then this dude looks up Point Harbor on his phone for a minute and sends the link to his wife and says, "Hey, we're looking for a good church. God is good. Thumbs up." Yeah. Yeah, right. We're in a divine partnership. A lot of churches expect the pastor to be out there doing that, you know, but I'm just going to come here and, you know, give and then you do that. No, no, no. You folks have huge, that's what these cards are all about. You reaching, and you know, your friends and your coworkers and people in the bank like Ray. We ought to, you know, we're in a partnership. We ought to go around these hallways shaking hands saying, "Put her there, partner. Put her there." We pastors are constantly thrilled that we're joined together as partners in this work of God. And number three. We are excited about our journey of progress. I love this. I don't know if you do much dreaming about Point Harbor like I do. I guess as a pastor, that's, you know, comes with a gig. But do you dream about your own spiritual progress? But I want you to dream with me a little bit. You know, who knows where we'll be in a year from now, even a year from now. With the Saturday night worship service, you know, going and growing, tons of new faces. We are looking at getting two more El Cimbrador church plants, and then El Cimbrador Point Harbor over there. We just remodeled it. And, you know, that'd be full and busting at the seams. We'll have to figure out, do we start new services there? Or 5 years, what God's going to do with us, or what God's going to do with you in 5 years, or 10 years. That 25 by 35, I am stoked about that. If you're not familiar, we want to plant 25 churches by 2035. Those churches plant 3 each, all right? Because they're supposed to, churches that plant churches have baby churches, and then leads to 100, hopefully and prayerfully, total El Cimbrador churches in Latin America and potentially other places, and I'm excited about that. We've already got how many planted? 6 and 1 that we're looking at in the DR. Pray about God's will there. Amen? But like another one, 40 years out, at least started. So we're already well on our way. What's it going to take, John? Oh, you filling out this thing and committing to give. All right? We needed to raise $250,000 to do this above budget, and we're like at 200 and I don't know what. We're like 94% of the way there. Do the math in your head. So somebody here needs to give to make up the difference, all right? Anybody raise their hand and say, "I'll be the person"? No? Okay, all right. You know who you are. But that's God's potential for partner you is stinking amazing. Stinking amazing. If you'd been, you know, a person that has the gift of prophecy, say, and you met this young lady who came, this young lady from Churchland High School who just happened to come in to this church back in the day with her friend. Now, this is her. You're like, "Well, there's a lot of faces." Boom, there she is. Miss Robin Rowe. She came in. She's played in Churchland. She's also in a rock band back in the day. So she comes in there with her rock, you know, probably outfit type stuff on. And you had the gift of prophecy. And you say, "Hey, girl. Nice to have you here. I just have a prophecy about you." "Well, what's that?" That's how she used to talk. "What's that?" She's from, you know, West Norfolk. "Well, you're not going to marry one of those cute Churchland boys."
"What? I'm not?"
"No, you're going to marry a sailor." "Oh, that can't be true because my daddy won't let me date sailors." "Well, you're going to, because he's coming to church in about a year."
"Oh, well, that's nice. Is he cute?"
"He has a nice personality." "But anyway, you're going to marry him. And then God's going to call you both into ministry." "What?" "Yeah, and not only that, but you're going to come back here and he's going to pastor this church." "What?" And in the interim, you're going to have a baby boy and 2 baby girls. And that baby boy is going to be a pastor at this church as well.
Oh, that's amazing. Well, tell me, is my baby boy at least going to be cute?
He's going to have a nice personality. Our God, my God, your God is in the good work completion business. That's his business. And I love this. Philippians 1 and verse 6, Paul said, I am sure. He's what? I'm sure of this, that he, talking about God, who began a good work in you, will bring it to what? Completion at the day of Jesus Christ. If he's begun a good work in you, he is going to complete it. Now, it's going to take your whole life, but you're going to be tracking to become more and more Christ-like. Can you fail? Can you fall? Can you backslide? Yes. But there's going to be evidence that you have the Holy Spirit of God living inside you. If you don't, then that should tell you something. If you say, I've been a Christian for 20 years, but you still have the same hang-ups, you still have the same sins, you're not even concerned about them anymore. What does that mean, John? It means what it says. He will bring it to completion. God's children will bear fruit. He will personally see to it. It's not me having to make you. I used to think it was. So, man, when you were successful, I'm like, look at me. But when you made me groan, I'm like, oh, I suck. God's promise is that he is working in his children and that work will begin to show up, not just on the inside, but work its way to the outside. And I've seen it in so many of you, how God has, over the years, especially this is the good thing about being here so many years, I've seen, man, some of you, when you came in, you were a mess. You were a mess. And God, you're not perfect yet, but you are being made in the image of Christ. But John, I'm so far from where I should be. True. But are you where you used to be? Look at how far he's brought you. Where are you at? Where are you at, folks? Maybe you're frustrated because you keep having failings. You keep falling. Okay, but are you making progress? Are you concerned about those things that you used to not be concerned about? You can look at this text in Philippians and rejoice. God is, if you're his child, and not just fooling yourself, he is performing his work in you. He will have his way. You will be maturing. So instead of saying, I just give up, keep putting one foot in front of the other because he will cause you to get traction. You will make progress. And you probably are and don't even know it. But other people around you can see it, amen? So Paul said, hey, take that next spiritual step. What is my next spiritual step? Real quick, John. Your next spiritual step, whatever it is, you know, and each one of us has, some of you need to trust Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Others of you need to say, okay, I'm going to get baptized. I'm not going to worry what people think about it. People are going to be praising God that you're getting baptized and saying, yeah, I've trusted Jesus. Hallelujah. He's changed my life. So whatever your next spiritual step is, take it. But I do know that every one of you has a next spiritual step, and that is to be an influence like Ray was trying to be to this dude, stranger in the bank. Now, that's hard. I was thinking for me to go up and start a conversation with, you know, I probably wouldn't have done it. But I have people I already know that I can converse with, and we need to be inviting them. The easiest time to get somebody to come to church is on Easter. It is. Because, I mean, you know, still in America, people think, yeah, church, Easter, yeah, I should probably go somewhere. And the sad thing is a lot of them are going to go to churches where they won't hear the gospel. They'll hear some social gospel, whatever. They don't, and they won't hear about Jesus. Here they will. They will hear the gospel clear and plain. And so John, I don't know what to say to him. You say, hey, where are you going to church at Easter? Just ask him that way. Where are you going? I do this to waitresses. I do this to people that come out, do deliveries at the house. Where are you going to go at Easter? Oh, well, why don't you come? There's a QR code. Everybody's got their device. And it shows a video. You know, it's cool. You can come and you know what you're going to get into beforehand. You know, we're not going to meet you at the door with a snake, right? Because some people are scared, but they can look at the video and, oh, okay, oh, yeah, they can place my kids. Oh, it looks like people are having fun. Oh, there's people who look like me there. Awesome, right? So say invite cards on the way out. Did you say it? You didn't say it. Invite cards. Yeah. All right, okay. On the way out, you're going to be given, I think, 3. Take them. If you don't take them, I'm going to have the ushers point you out. There's going to be a horn that sounds, and we're going to put you, you know, on the website. This person doesn't care about people going to heaven. All right? So take them. And then, last week we talked about family. This week it's friends. Now you can invite either one. But I want you to take out the, what color is it? It's lime green card. Lime green card. Take it out. It should be in front of you somewhere. Wave it at me. Wave it at me. Hurry, hurry, hurry. Wave it, wave it, wave it, wave it. Hurry, hurry, hurry. All right, I got a revival over here. All right, so right, okay. There's kind of shallow here in the middle. If you folks, some backsliders right over here. Wave it at me. Wave it at me. Come on, backsliders. All right, over here. Now, I want you to, on this week, I want you to put the top three friends you have that God is already putting on your heart. And if he's not, assume, okay, well, my best friend, I should probably get my best friend to Jesus. Now, if your best friend is a deacon at a church down the street and is, you know, they're Christian, then not them, okay? Don't take them away from their church at Easter. But people that are your friends, that you say your friends, that you ought to care if they go to hell or not, amen? Write them, put your name on that and write their names legibly. Don't write a book. And this is not, folks, right now, this is not for, hey, they got bursitis, sinusitis, meningitis. This is, I want them to come to church and hear the gospel so they don't go to hell. All right, got that? Now, put it right. Start writing. Right. All right, we got some music. Here comes the musician. And what I want you to do is we're going to give an old school Baptist invitation. Because you see these in front of me, all right? I want you to write them on here. And on Saturday, or not Saturday, but on Tuesday before Easter, we're going to have a 24-hour prayer. I want you to sign up for that, at least a half-hour segment. I want those of you who are signing up to come here so that you can pray over these. Now, can I pray at home, John? Sure. But here you've got, you know, you have not because you asked not. And I want you to be praying over your brothers and sisters in Christ's friends. Lord, please help, you know, Sylvia to come to church when you know, Shaniqua invites her. And Lord, draw her and help her to listen. And Lord, help her to trust Jesus as her Savior this Easter. All right? So here, stand with me. Give me the music there, music man. Now here, come forward. I want you to do this. Don't just lay them here. Now you can, but I want you to pray over them. Just spend a second. All right, a few seconds and just pray over them. Breathe these names to Jesus. You have not because you ask not. Come on down and then leave the card. Leave the card here. As we pray, all right, God, do a work. Do a work in my friend's life. You say, well, John, I didn't fill one out about my family. Then put your family on there, okay? Be as precise as you want the answer. In other words, if their name is Bill Smith, put Bill Smith, salvation, or Bill Smith, backslidden. All right, whatever the need is. But mainly if the need is spiritual. Let's pray. God, help us be people of prayer. Help us be people who are partnering with you at every level, Lord. Lead us to our next spiritual step, but help us to not leave people behind who we say we care about. And this Easter weekend, may you use us, Lord, in an amazing way. May you go ahead of us and be there with us. And then when we leave, Lord, stay there. Working on hearts. Help us to just invite them. Take them out to lunch afterwards or whatever. But Lord, you changed my life because of an invite. You changed my wife's life because of an invite. Where we came and heard the gospel and our lives were changed. God, you're doing it still. Help us to partner with you in it.
and make this be an amazing Easter. And confound Satan, Lord. Confound him. And all of God's praying and inviting people said, amen. Now, have a quick seat. If you didn't come forward, but you have the card, put those in the offering boxes on the way out, please, because we want to include those in our prayer. Don't forget to sign up. Don't forget to sign up on the prayer thing. Even if you're just praying at home, sign up at that time. All right, you can have a seat. You can have a seat, folks. Sign up at that time that you're going to be praying. And I want you to join me. I'm praying at like 1 to 2 in the morning. So take some of those tough spots, those of you who can, all right? But if you can at all, come here. We're going to have folks here, all right? So you're not going to be alone by yourself. It's going to be secure. And we are going to be praying half an hour. We're going to have prayer stations with the different cards, all right? So it's going to be easy to do as far as figuring out what you need to pray for. All right.